chapter 2, verse 21, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. God created man and woman, and he created the woman in Adam, in that rib. And then later in chapter 2, he took that rib and created and made the woman. And when we think God made Adam and Eve for a purpose, there was a reason for that. And God had made Adam and Eve so that they could rule the world, so that they now could rule the earth. They could have dominion over the earth. And he was able to take the animals. And what I cannot imagine how it must have been in the Garden of Eden. I love animals. Before I got saved, I was planning on being a veterinarian. And I was going to work with these horses and these goats and these cows and all. And God said, I want you to work with some other animals. And so now here I am, I'm working with you. But I enjoy reading the parts of the Bible where all of the animals, and I think about Noah when he was able to call all of the animals, and God had them to file, double file, and go into the ark, and what a blessing. And one day we're going to see that again. Jesus is coming again, and when he comes again, after 7 years from the time that we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, he's coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to set up his kingdom upon the earth. And the Bible says that the children will be able to sit down with the lions and they'll not have a problem. They'll be able to play with the serpents. They'll be able to, the lambs and the lions will play together, and they'll not be afraid of the lion. The lamb will not be afraid of the lion. And God's going to set that all up, and we're going to see it. We're going to be, those of you that know Jesus Christ as Savior, that you that have taken the blood of Jesus and put it over the door lintel and down the doorpost of your heart by faith, we are going to be in the second heaven where Satan is now and ruling with his fallen angels. We are going to be there. We're going to be able to see that. We're going to be able to move about at will. Now, I know all of you would love to do that. I often thought about, I like to fish, and I've had several boats, and when I had my brain aneurysm, I got rid of my other boat, my last boat. It was a pontoon boat that would sleep 8 people, and it had a bathroom, it had a kitchen, it had all of those things, and I enjoy the water. But I've often thought about if there were, and they have them, personal submarines. That you can just get in a little submarine and go wherever you want in the ocean. I'd love to do that. Well, one of these days we're going to have a special spacecraft. And we're going to be able to go wherever we want to go. And in performing the work that God has for us to do, as the angels are able to come and minister to us, we are going to do that also in that day and time. Well, God, Satan had fallen, and he had decided that he wanted to be like God. And so he was cast out of the third heaven where God is, and he was cast into the second heaven. And today he rules and reigns with his fallen angels over the earth. And because he was disqualified, because he wanted to be like God, Ezekiel chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 14 tells us that. And then in Job chapter 1, we find where the princes or the sons of God, the rulers of the ruler of earth, which was Satan, came together and they were meeting in conference. And Satan still has control over the earth now because no one has been qualified to replace him yet. Man was created. God created Adam and Eve, and he created them to take over the earth, to rule and reign over the earth. But Satan didn't want that. And so Satan tempted Eve into eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she partook of that fruit and gave that fruit to Adam. And Adam partook of that fruit also and became disqualified to rule the earth. And God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." And down through the years, generation after generation after generation, there have been men and women born, and children have been born to them, and other children have been born to them, and they've continued on until there was a time when the children of Israel were taken out of the land of Egypt, and God gave them specific instructions on how they were to leave Egypt. He said, "I want you to take a lamb and offer the blood of that lamb. Put the blood on the door lintel and down the doorpost of your house, and the death angel will pass over you because that blood is going to represent the blood of God, the Lamb of God. It's going to represent God's own Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, and by faith we can apply that blood over the heart lintel, the door of our heart, over the lintel and down the doorpost of our heart's door, and be saved. "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," which is the Lamb of God, "shall be saved." And so we can come to know Him as our Savior. And so God told Adam and Eve to replenish and multiply upon the earth. And then there came a time when Moses had taken the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they had put the blood on the door, and they were able to move and go through the wilderness, and they got to a place that was called Kadesh Barnea. And in that place, they were ready to cross over into the Promised Land. But some of the people said, "We're not so sure whether we want to go in there or not." Now, I don't know. That doesn't really make sense to me. But I understand they sent 12 people. They sent 12 detectives to go into the land of Israel. And they looked out the land. And they came back, all 12 of them, gave a report. 10 of them said, "There are giants in the land, and if we go there, they are going to cut us up, cook us, and make us stew." Wow. Now, that's pretty tough. And two of them said, Joshua and Caleb said, No. Wait a minute. You understand that God has been leading us all along. When we came out of Egypt, remember, He took the Red Sea and divided the Red Sea, and we walked on dry ground. And we got over to the other side, and we looked, and their chariots and their horsemen, and their soldiers all were killed. Not one of them remained. And then God led us with a cloud in the daytime and showed us where to go so that we wouldn't go where the wild animals were and where the snakes were and where the mosquitoes were and all those things. And he led us by the way that he wanted us to go. And at night, he gave a pillar of fire that was over us. It was heat for us. It was a heater for us. And it was also our protection. And the animals would not come because of the fire. And God led us all of the way. He led us here to Kadesh Barnea. So God can take care of those those giants and the Anakims. And he can destroy them. He can give us protection. He can give us the victory if we will just trust in him. Now, you and I are living today. We have several of you that are students today. And you've gotten started in school today, this week. And you are now facing some obstacles in school. Girls, you've got to be careful. Satan is going to try to get you to lower your standards. Satan is going to try to get you to compromise your life. And if you're not careful, you will compromise your standing with God. God wants you to be a holy, and as the men sang, God wants you to be a person of respect. God wants you to be an example of Him. And so you have to look out. Satan is going to try every way that he can cause you to stumble. But God, he no longer has a cloud to lead you in the day and no longer a pillar of fire at night, but he has his holy word. And as we read God's word, he will show us and teach us how to live. He will teach us how to say no. And he teach us on what we need to do to serve him, how he wants us to serve him. And so the children of Israel, they looked and they said that they listened to the ten who said, there are giants in the land and we will not be able to overcome those giants. And they decided that they would not go into the promised land. It was a land that God had promised them. And they said, we can't do it. No, you can't do it, but God can do it. And as in life, there's many things that you and I cannot do, but God can do it. There will be bills that will come that you cannot pay, but God can pay them. God can send money to you anonymously. God can send you money. You find some money out in the middle of nowhere and you look around and say, who dropped this $100 bill? And you look around and there's nobody there. And you go to whoever, the place of business or somewhere and say, hey, did somebody lose some money? And nobody says they lost any money and nobody has reported it being stolen. Evidently, God put it there for you. Now, here's somebody that knocks somebody in the head, takes their billfold, and pulls their money out and says, well, God gave this to me. No, God doesn't work that way, okay? That's not the way God works. But we have to understand that God is going to lead us. You come to a big exam. And you've got to, you've studied hard. Now, I know that when I was in college, I knew some students that said, dear God, please help me to make a good grade on this exam. And they never opened the book. And they failed. They said, God didn't help me to make a good grade. Well, hello, we got to do our part too. And so I told some of the students one time, I said, I wasn't a holy Joe, and I wasn't a goody-goody and all that. I had all of my deficiencies also. But I said, you know, you guys are praying, and you never do anything. You've got to read. Here's the way you ought to pray. Dear God, help me to recall those things I've studied. Now, that leaves you out if you didn't study. You're here to study. You're here to prepare for what God wants you to do. And you can pray, and it may be a tremendous exam, maybe a comprehensive exam. And those are the hard exams, the comprehensive ones. But God can help us through all of those difficulties and all of those times. God can help us. And so the children of Israel decided they didn't want to go. God said, all right, Joshua and Caleb are going to go, because they gave a good report and they are trusting in me, and I will let them into the promised land. But the others, I will not let into the promised land. And they wandered in the wilderness. And by the way, they were already what we would consider, they were saved. They had taken the lamb, and they had taken the blood and sprinkled over the door lintel and down the doorpost. They had accepted the Lamb of God and His shed blood as payment for their sin. But at living for Him day by day, they failed. They died on the right side of the blood, but they died on the wrong side of the promised land. And many of us as Christians, we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and His shed blood as payment for our sin, the sins that we committed the first day we were born, the sins that we're committing now, the sins that we'll commit the last day of our lives, and He forgave us of all of our sins. But now, we need to live for Him. And as we live for Him day by day, there are times when we fail Him. When we say maybe things that aren't quite true. When we say things that maybe we shouldn't have said because it would be offensive to someone. And we need to be careful of those things, but we do those things, and we can pray and ask the Lord to forgive us. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness until all of those people had died except Joshua and Caleb and their families. And then they went in to the promised land. Well, from time to time then, the children of Israel, as Joshua and Caleb came in, we come now to the judges, and we come to Samuel, and we come to those people. And for several centuries, the children of Israel again failed to be what God wanted them to be. And they sinned and sinned until finally they just sinned to the point that God said, what am I going to do with you? You can't listen at all. Oh, listen. Are you at that point in your life where God is saying, what? Where are you? What are you doing? I have given you so much. I've done so many things for you. Why are you not living for me? And then we come to, as the prophets were prophesying the word, and they were prophesying that God was going to send a Redeemer. God was going to send someone out of mankind who was qualified to rule the earth. Satan had been disqualified. Adam had been disqualified. And now, here the prophets of old gave a prophecy. And they said, in Bethlehem, there's going to be a baby that's born. And that baby is going to be the Lamb of God. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He lived his life, and when he got up to 30 years old, he began to preach, "Repent of your sin, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, repent." Jesus now, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but yet he's just a young man now. And he got baptized. He went immediately into the wilderness. And you know what happened? Satan tried again to disqualify him. He tempted him in all three points. He tempted him with the things of the world. He tempted him with the things of the flesh. And he had tempted him of the things of the devil. And Jesus used the word of God in every time. And he successfully defeated Satan. And he became qualified. Here we have Satan was disqualified. Adam was disqualified. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was qualified. But he didn't take the reins immediately and sit on the throne of the earth immediately. But he said, "I am going to come again." But the children of Israel didn't like that. They didn't like to accept him as their Messiah. And they said, "We don't want you as our Messiah." And they crucified him. And after Jesus was crucified, he was buried, but he arose again the third day. And then for 40 days after he arose, he shared with the apostles the things that he wanted them to preach and teach to the Jewish people and to the entire world. And he said, "I will come again and receive you in myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Jesus gone away to sit at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you and I as our defense attorney. And he said, "I will send my Holy Spirit to live within you." And when we accept the death and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus as payment for our sin, the Holy Spirit of God, the very Spirit of God, comes within us and begins to teach us what God has said in His Word, and we're able to understand it. And the Bible says, "As a natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." We now that have the Holy Spirit living within us, we can understand the spiritual things. Jesus has gone to be with His Father as our defense attorney, but He's coming again. And He's going to come back. And the Bible says that He's going to come back, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, and we're going to go with Him. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation for the children of Israel, the Jewish people, because they rejected Him and they crucified Him. 7 years after you and I are gone, Jesus is coming again to the earth. He's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the Jewish people are going to understand, "This is the one that we crucified." And they're going to fall and worship Him. And then He's going to set up His kingdom for 1,000 years. You and I need to understand that at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan has been bound for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit. God is going to release him for a short period of time. And just for a short period of time, the people for 1,000 years now, children have been born. There's a lot of children being born. There's adults and all just like we are today. And when Satan is loosed, he's going to lie to them. He's going to deceive them because he wants everybody in hell with him. And here are people that have seen the Lord Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and have seen him rule and reign the earth. And yet, there are people that are going to say, we're going to put our allegiance with Satan. And they're going to turn to Satan. And then, and it's just for a short period, then God is going to take Satan and all of those that are that have followed him, and there's going to be a great white throne judgment, and they will be cast into the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And it wasn't prepared for us as people. It wasn't prepared for you or me. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Why should we go there? Why should we reject Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, the Lamb of God? Why should we reject his payment for our sin? It's a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's, Satan's going to be bound then in that bottomless pit forever and ever. And then there's a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth, the way that it should have been in the Garden of Eden if man had not failed. And it'll be set up then. And Jesus is going to be at the right hand of the Father. He has a throne on the earth. He has a throne in the heaven. You and I are going to rule and reign. We'll live with him ages upon ages without end. Doing what we're supposed to be doing. However we are assigned a position with the Lord Jesus as Jesus being the one over the earth because he's qualified. He's qualified because he died for your sins and for mine so that we can have eternal life, so that we can live forever and ever with him. Do you know for sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? If you're not sure of that, then today you can, by faith, and this is a prayer that you could pray if you'll pray it in your heart and mean it. And this is the prayer. And if you want, you can repeat it after me. And just in your mind, you can say it. And it's accepting the death of Jesus and his shed blood as payment for your sin. And here's the prayer. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus came as your lamb. He came and shed his blood on the cross to pay for my sins. I now, by faith, accept the blood of Jesus as payment for my sin. Come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would help us today to be what you want us to be. I pray for Christians that you would help us to realize that one day we are going to be faced with the same situation that the children of Israel faced at the Kadesh Barnea. But we are living in such a time like the wilderness, and we are to overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we need to take the Word of God and put our faith in the Word of God and read the Word of God so that we can overcome Satan and be victorious, so that one day you can say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." And Lord, that's what we want to hear. Help us to have the strength and the faith to do what needs to be done here in reaching others and sharing and being a blessing to others and being pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.